Bibles, I invite you to be turning to the book of Ephesians and the fifth chapter. In just a moment, we'll read a passage from that opening, Ephesians the fifth chapter, and it will serve to be our lesson text, and many of the things we'll say will come from that book and that opening. While you're turning in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians in the fifth chapter, let me take just a moment to express my word of appreciation for the presence of each of you. We have a lot of visitors, and we're delighted that you're with us. We have a lot of our own that are gone because of the holidays, and because of the holidays, many are visiting. Many of you have been a part of the congregation in times past and are back visiting, and it's a delight to have you. And if you're visiting for the first time, it's a delight to have you. I want to call your attention to the verse, Ephesians 5 and verse 14. Where the New King James says, "Therefore he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." We've been reading the book of Ephesians and Colossians during this month. And it was during this time that I was reading and rereading Ephesians that my attention fell on this verse. And I thought, what a great sermon. I mean, just think for a moment. It's 3 points. All good sermons have 3 points. It talks about the condition that all of us are in or have been in times past, asleep and dead. It calls us to action, saying, awake from the sleep, arise from the dead. And then it promises us great blessings, saying, if we will awake and if we will arise, Christ will give us light. But I have to tell you that as I began to think about the passage, I began to struggle with it a little bit. And here's the problem. It's written to a church. Is he trying to describe those at Ephesus as being asleep and dead? Or is it somehow talking about the world and saying, those people are the ones that are asleep. They're the ones that are dead. I think if you begin to think about the term sleep and dead, you immediately understand that while the Bible talks about people that were asleep, and people that were dead physically. For instance, Jesus himself was asleep in the boat, and he himself gave up the ghost and died physically. But that's certainly not what he is talking about in this passage. He's talking about people that are spiritually slumbering or asleep. He's talking about people that really are not zealous. They're not vigilant. They're just drifting along, perhaps, in a very comfortable state, perhaps, even. Or they are spiritually dead in sin. Even the book of Ephesians talks about this spiritual death. If you'll turn back over to chapter 2 in verse 1, when he's addressing these, he says, "And you he has made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins." So the question is, who is he speaking to? Well, I will tell you that while I certainly hope that the Ephesian church as a whole was not asleep or dead, that there is times or are times that Christians need this kind of warning. Somebody needs to shout, "Wake up! Arise from the dead!" And there are numerous times in the Bible where you find Paul on other occasions and other Bible writers telling us that very same thing. Christians, wake up. Arise from the dead. Look back, if you will, for a moment to the book of Romans and the 13th chapter. And listen to verse 11 and 12. Paul says, "And do this knowing the time that now is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill its lust." You see, here's a time that Paul is writing to Christians, and he says, wake up. The time is nigh. It's closer now to our salvation than it was in the beginning. I don't care where you are in your Christianity, you are closer to the end than you were in the beginning. And if you're not a Christian, you're closer to the day of judgment than you are or were yesterday. Just simply because time is progressing and moving us toward that great event. And so Paul would write and say, listen, time is moving, time is of the essence. It's time that we wake up and get right with the Lord and make sure that we're doing the things that we need to do. When you look over to the book of 1 Corinthians in the 15th chapter, in verse 33 of chapter 15 of the Corinthian letter, Paul would say, "Do not be deceived. Evil companionship or evil company corrupt good habits. Awake to righteousness and do not sin. For some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame." Again, he's writing to Christians. And he evidently is saying there are some Christians that are being deceived. They think they can run with the evil and have fellowship with the evil and that it's not going to bother them. But he says, awake unto righteousness. You can't do that. You can't participate in sin, he says, and be pleasing with God. Awake unto righteousness. I think when you look over to the book of Galatians and the 6th chapter, you would hear the warning again when Paul in chapter 6 and verse 1 would say, "Brethren, if any man is overtaken in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted." What is he saying? But here is somebody that has gone to sleep, so to speak. And as a result of that, sin has overtaken him. And now somebody needs to come along and say, awake, arise. Keep turning in your Bibles and come to the book of 1 Thessalonians, in the 5th chapter. And listen to what Paul says. "But concerning the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that the day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We're not of the night or of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober." You hear him? All of us know that there's a day of the Lord coming. If we're Christians, hopefully we know that. And he said, don't be like those people that are in darkness and who are not going to be ready for that day. We're sons of light. Walk in the light, not in the darkness. But he says, awake. Understand where you are and what you need to be doing, he's saying. Look, if you would, to the book of Hebrews and the second chapter. He has in chapter 1 proclaimed that God speaks to us today through His Son, Jesus Christ. And has tried to emphasize to those people and to us that He's even greater than Moses. And they listened to Moses and the law that was given by angels, and how much greater what Christ has spoken to us. And so in chapter 2 and verse 1, he would say, therefore, drawing a conclusion from the things he said, therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we let them drift away. Doesn't that sound like somebody that's just sleeping and not really paying attention, that's in spiritual slumber, and while he is sleeping, the things are just slipping away from him? And so in chapter 2 and verse 3, we say, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? This that the Lord has spoken to us is valuable, it's important, it's good, it's great. And he says, we're just going to let it drift away from it, or we're going to drift away from it? It's the same thing as saying, awake. Don't become dull to what you have or insensitive to the great blessings that you have. Awake, he says. Listen to the book of James and the 5th chapter and verse 19 and 20. Brethren, if any among you, notice he's saying, brethren, if any among you, if any among you wander from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who has turned a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. Here's somebody that's drifted or deliberately made bad choices, and now he's saying, if somebody can reach that person, if somebody can somehow awake that person and bring him back, then he will save a soul from death. And you remember the words of Peter in 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, when he would say, be sober, be vigilant. The devil is like a roaring lion seeking to devour whom he may. What is that? To be sober, be vigilant, other than to say, be awake. Understand that there's danger about you, that Satan's seeking to devour whom he may. And you better be awake and watching, or he will get you. Do you suppose you could possibly be one of those that need to hear the words awake as a Christian? Or to arise from death? There's a book, and I've mentioned it several times. One of the best bargains I got. It's called The Wealth, The Warfare, or The Wealth. Yeah, it's a good book. The Wealth, The Walk, The Warfare of the Christian. I got it at the library sale for 10 cents. I have yet to finish the book because every time I get in it, it just draws my attention to so many things. And so I was looking at that book in preparation of this. And the writer asked some questions perhaps it would be good for us to ask, as we seek to determine, are we some of the ones who need to awake as Christians and perhaps even to arise from the dead? Are you permitting any sin that is unbecoming to you as a saint? Is there anything in your life that you just know is not what it ought to be as a Christian? And yet you still allow it to stay a part in your life? If that's the case, then certainly we need to hear that term, awake. And we even need to hear arise from the dead if we have sin in our life and we're content for it to stay there. Have you been a partaker with evildoers in their evil works, and thus the light that is in you has become darkness? Have you participated in those things that are evil with evil people, so as to dim your light or to put it out, extinguish it? If so, then you're one of the ones that need to hear the word, awake, arise from the dead. Are you willing for the unpopularity that would inevitably come if you're faithful and decisively separated yourself from both the workers and the works of the darkness? In other words, are you willing to take a stand for truth and for light, even if it means that you're going to become unpopular? And are you ready to obey the Lord's command to reprove them under the Holy Spirit's control and guidance? Are you ready to stand for what is truth? Is he talking to Christians? Well, if you think about it, awake those that are asleep, or you who are asleep. Arise from the dead. Christ will give you light. That certainly adequately describes all who are in the world and not in Christ, because they're both asleep and dead, those that are in the world. There's a chance maybe that some Christians are asleep but not dead, though some are both asleep and dead. You read Revelation, how he says to the church at Sardis, I have a few that haven't defiled their names. He says, you have a name that liveth, but you're dead. Some Christians are both asleep and dead. Peter would write in 2 Peter saying how that if we escape the pollution of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and again entangle therein, the latter end is worse than the beginning. But there's maybe some that are asleep and some that are dead in Christ, but when you're talking about people that in the world, those people are both usually asleep and dead. And incidentally, if you look at some translations, and seemingly good translations from looking at the Greek, you would read and hear him say, awake thou who sleepeth, and arise from the dead. As if he's talking to one group of people, and they're both sleep and dead. But how adequately they describe the world. We live in a world that give very little thought to God. They are asleep. They don't give any thought to their duties toward God, that they are made in the image of God and that they should be fearing God and keeping His commandments. They don't give any thought to their spiritual condition, how that they are dead in sin and need to be made alive. They give no thought about spiritual things. They don't think much about death. They don't think much about the judgment that is to come after death. They're just in la-la land as far as religion is concerned. I had an occasion to talk to somebody this past week, and I don't doubt that the person is good and honest because of the position that they hold. Very personal. And yet when I talk to them about religion and ask if they and their mate come to worship services anywhere, this is foreign to them. And I'm telling you that we've got lots of people in this world who give no thought to God. They are asleep spiritually. And not only asleep, they're dead. Because all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3 and verse 23, and they are unredeemed, hence they are still in their sins, and the wages of sin is death. And that's the right reason that Paul would write in Ephesians 2 and say, you were dead in your trespasses, past tense, when you were in the world, you were dead because of sin. The world needs to awake. Somehow, those people that are giving no thought to God need to be made to think about God so that their minds will turn to things spiritual. Somebody needs to say, what then? When you get to the end of life, what then? So that they'll begin to think, what's going to happen? I don't even know if the people in our world today have a real clear and thought about resurrection. I was sitting in a class in Chicago, and they happened to be studying the book of Acts in the 17th chapter. And I wasn't teaching the class. I was going to preach afterwards. But in that class, they were talking about Acts 17, and at the very end, Paul said he spoke him when he spoke to him about the resurrection. Some of them became interested. And it just made me think, we live in a world of people understand what's going to happen when death comes. That there is a time of resurrection and how that we can be raised to live in good conditions after this. Have you ever thought about that if you're not a Christian? Do you think about it regularly? But notice, he's saying those people that are asleep and those people that are dead, those people that are in the world, if that's who he's talking about, they can arise, they can awake, they can enjoy the blessings of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Listen, if you would, to the book of John in the 5th chapter, and beginning in verse 24. John is recording the words of our Lord and Savior. He says, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my words and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. Most assuredly I say to you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live." The world needs to listen. It needs to wake up and hear the words of Jesus so that they can come out of that death and be made alive. And Christ, he says, will give them light. Interesting enough, if you look back in the book of Ephesians and the 5th chapter for a moment, this whole section is talking about children of light. But look, if you would, particularly at verse 8. He's talking again to these Christians. He says, "For when you were once darkness..." Now notice, he doesn't say you were once in darkness. He says you were darkness. But now you are light. Not just you are in the light, but you are light. You have light in you. And that's the promise. Awake. Arise. And Christ will give you light. Not just you'll be in it, but it will be in you as well. Well, let's go back for a minute and put the passage in context and see if we can determine what he's talking about for sure. As I just stated, he starts in chapter 5 and he is talking about the conduct of the Christian and how that we ought to be imitators of God and we ought to leave those things that are darkness alone. They shouldn't even once be named among the saints. So he begins in chapter 5 and verse 8. He said, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord." Christians are supposed to be light. So he says, walk as children of light. You remember Paul writing in 2 Corinthians 6, and he says, "What fellowship has light with darkness?" The two aren't compatible. And Paul is saying, you as Christians, you are light. Don't walk in darkness. Walk in light. It makes no sense for a Christian who is supposed to be a child of light to be walking in darkness. Now, he will give you a test, and you can determine whether or not you are in light or in darkness. Because he says, parentheses in verse 9, "For the fruit of the Spirit," and some versions will say, "For the fruit of the light is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth." Goodness seems to be that quality of just, you're going to do good to everybody. You don't want to harm anyone. And if you're walking in the light, that's your attitude. I just want to do good. I want to bless people or be a blessing unto people. Righteousness is that state of being right. And certainly as Christians and who are walking in the light, we want to be light or righteous. We want to be right in God's sight. Remember the question, is it something that you're doing that you know that is not right? Why? And if you're truly in the light, you're going to walk or have the fruits of goodness, righteousness, and truth. Whatever it is that God says is truth, and that's what you want. That's what you're going to live by. And that's going to direct you into the goodness and the righteousness that we're talking about. But now keep in mind, he said, now Christians, you are light. And you ought to be walking in light, and these fruits ought to be in your life. And so in verse 11, he says, have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness. You can't share in that darkness. There is no fellowship between light and darkness. Doesn't mean that you don't come in contact with people in the world and that you can't even have them as friends, but you don't share in their evil. You don't lend support to them in their evil in any way. In fact, he not only says don't have fellowship, the next statement is, but rather expose them. Your duty is not just to withdraw, but he says you ought to be showing and making darkness plain. When I was very young, we took a trip to Ruby Falls in Tennessee in a cave. And I remember we traveled back in there, and the minute he turned out the light and he said, this is total darkness. And you've heard the expression, you can't see your hand in front of your face. I mean, that was true. I have never experienced darkness any more than that. And then he lit just a match, one match. And what a difference it made. The difference between light and darkness. And he says, those of us that are Christians, we not only need not to touch that and have fellowship with that that is darkness, but we need to be exposing those things. He says, for it is a shame, or it's shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. May I just tell you something? I am not impressed when Christians start telling jokes to be funny about homosexuality or adultery or any of those things that are shameful. We ought never to glamorize those things. We are light. And we ought to be exposing the darkness of those things. And he says, but all things are exposed or made manifest by light. Whatever they make manifest is light. In other words, darkness is exposed by light. And when that happens, there's that chance that darkness will be awakened. And the dead will arise. And because of that, they'll be blessed. Joe mentioned Daniel in the study this morning. Not a New Testament saint, but certainly an Old Testament saint. But would not stop his praying. And other things that he did that, not by word necessarily, but even by deeds, condemned the darkness. And because of his standing and exposing the darkness, you saw some kings like Nebuchadnezzar and Darius praise God. You think about Acts 5 and how that Peter rebuked Ananias and Sapphira and the punishment that they received. It didn't help them as far as their being punished, but it certainly strengthened the church. Or in Acts the 13th chapter when Paul goes to Paphos and there's a sorcerer by the name of Bar-Jesus there that is withstanding Paul, and Paulus hears it as Paul rebukes this soothsayer, and he's turned to Christ. The darkness made evident, the light made plain. And suddenly somebody that was asleep and somebody that was dead wants to be awake and alive. So, having said that, he says, therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Christian or the world? Who's he talking to? I'll tell you my conclusion. There's not so much talking about the world or the church. He's talking about darkness. And if it should be a Christian who has gone to sleep and slid into death, then that's the one that he wants to awake. And if it's that person in the world who has not yet become alive in Christ Jesus, that's the person that he wants to see and hear so that they can be made alive and be made light. When I was studying this, one of the parables that Jesus told came to my mind. It seems to me that it just illustrates well the whole idea of what we're talking about. It is the parable of the prodigal son. Here's a person who goes to his father and takes his father's inheritance that he gives him, and he wastes it in riotous living. Fornication, adultery, whatever else, drunkenness. He is dead in sin. And yet, finally, as the story unfolds, he recognizes where he is. He's in darkness. The passage says he came to himself. How easily it could have written and been written, he awoke. He finally woke up and said, what is this life that I'm living doing for me? There are servants in my father's house that have it better than I have. And then it says, he said, I will arise and go to my father. But it doesn't stop there. He didn't just say, I will arise. It says he arose and went. He is coming out of the darkness and the wasted life of death. And what happens when he gets home? His father showers him with blessings. Awake, thou that sleepeth. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you life. If you're here and that applies to you, then come and receive the light as together we stand and sing.